Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 Thessalonians 5. And we'll begin reading at verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. But test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. It is our heart's desire to know you more clearly, to love you more dearly, to follow you more nearly day by day. Oh, our God, may this reading of your scriptures and our time thinking over your word tonight be instrumental in just those things, for the sake of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we began last Sunday night in the midst of the storm and the ice and the snow, the first of a two-part series on Thanksgiving. What I said last week is I normally preach a Thanksgiving sermon on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, but I did something different this year to see if things would change. Who knows? So I thought I'd preach two Thanksgiving sermons back-to-back before Thanksgiving, and so here we are. We're at the second one at this point. And we're going to focus primarily, really, on just verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I once had a woman in another church long, long, long ago in a totally different world, okay? I once had a woman in another church challenge me and scoff me when I pointed out 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Oh, come on, Mike, she said. How can that be? In every circumstance? Really? It truly perturbed her, to say the least. But her challenge to me has made me think over that verse and over throughout the years. How is it possible that we can actually give thanks in, not for every circumstance, but in every circumstance? How can we do that? And I've puzzled over that, especially as I've run into my own personal circumstances that were at times discouraging, discombobulating, and demoralizing, but also as I've stumbled into situations in other people's lives that have looked dark and fearful. So how can we give thanks in every circumstance? I just have 2 points. I'm going to begin at the end of the verse and then work our way back to the front. So let's talk first off about God's will for us. Now, I regularly hear as a minister, and so does John, but I'm sure you parents hear this from your kids, and I'm sure that all of us hear this at some point from our friends. And it's a question, what's God's will for me in this or that situation? What is God's will for us? Most of the time, we ask that question because we're confused or we're perplexed about the decisions we are confronted with. Well, should I marry Bobby or Ivan? Do I take this job over at Chesapeake or the one over at Bank of America? Do I go to Oklahoma Christian University or the University of Central Oklahoma? What do I do? I understand that perplexity. It wasn't just about 2.5 years ago that Anna and I thrashed over whether to come back to Oklahoma and the call here. It required quite a bit of contemplation about how to make the right decision. We prayed. We brought the boys in. We thought about it. We talked about it. We prayed. We pondered. We delved into different scenarios. We talked with wiser friends. But I'll have you know, brothers, sisters, that there were no lightning bolts. So I'm just going to tell you. Maybe this is only me, okay? But there were no lightning bolts that came down and struck the ground and scored it with an arrow back to Oklahoma. You know what I mean? The earth didn't shake and open up and a deep voice thundering from the depths say, "Go back to Oklahoma." The decision literally came down to weighing pros and cons. We took a white piece of paper, drew a line down the center, we put pros, cons. Literally. And we went through and we listed them and we prayed over the pros and the cons. We listened to a few wiser and more observant friends, and Anna and I and even the boys spent time exposing our hearts' desires to God. Now, if you are in that kind of a situation right now, or you have friends who are in that kind of situation, let me encourage you to read a little pamphlet. We only have two in the church building, but you can order them very easily. Let me encourage you to read this little pamphlet, Guidance, Have I Missed God's Best? If you're going through it right now, wondering how in the world to make the right decision and so forth, get it. And if you have a friend that's going through that decision time, get it for them, read it first. You must always read it first. So that way, when they read it, you know what they're talking about and can work with them and pray with them. Get the booklet. I think you'll be blessed. But all of that to get us to this passage here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. My friends, there are simply some things that are just indisputably God's will for us. Period. Let me give you an example. Just hold chapter 5 and flip back to chapter 4. Just look back at chapter 4. I'm just going to start the first couple of verses here. Paul is rehearsing how he has taught them and that they have received all that he has taught them. And so then in verse 2 he says, "For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality," etc. Holiness in marriage, holiness in sexuality, holiness in singleness are God's unquestionable will for every man, woman, boy, and girl here, preacher and non-preacher. Redheads and the rest of y'all. And so, going back to chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Paul says that giving thanks in every circumstance is God's will for us. It's indisputable, it's undeniable, it's unquestionable, it's incontrovertible. But we all ask, how? How can I be thankful when I have loved ones who have rejected Jesus? How can I be thankful when there are those in our lives, in our friends or family, who are racing down the tracks of an emotional or moral train wreck? How can I be thankful when sometimes there's just more month than there is paycheck? How can I be thankful when there are troubles at home, when there are multiple crises at work, when there's death lurking around a family member? Now, honestly, it's easy to be thankful when the sun shines, when the bank makes a wonderful error in your favor, and especially when your political candidate wins the election and actually fulfills all of his campaign promises. It's easy to give thanks then. But we're to be giving thanks in all situations and all circumstances. I know it's hard to fathom, but if we believe that God is good, and we talked about that last week in the sermon from Psalm 100, and when you leave today, if you want to see the manuscript, the recording didn't work, but if you want to find the manuscript of that sermon and look at it, I have in my pocket little slips of paper with the website address. You can see the manuscript, so hit me up on the way out the door. But as we heard last week, as we were thinking about Psalm 100, if we believe that God is good and that He has our best interests in mind and He wants us to glorify and enjoy Him forever, then we must have it settled in our minds, in our hearts, that Paul's words are God's direction for us. And we are to be thankful in every circumstance. And when we're not, we may need to ask Him forgiveness and to turn toward gratitude. But how? Now what I want to do is I want to jog over to the real how of this. How is it possible for us to be grateful and thankful in every circumstance? Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How can we do that? What I'm about to give you, I picked up from Jonathan Edwards, his book, The Religious Affections. It's a very stiff book, to be honest with you. It's hard to wade through, but there are some priceless gold mines. There's not even nuggets. There's gold mines in there. Jonathan Edwards made a careful distinction between the gratitude of hypocrites and the truly grace-generated, gospel-grounded gratitude. Edwards said things like this. He talked about how the gratitude of hypocrites is largely a gratitude for the benefits of God. Here's what he said. When persons have affections towards God only or primarily for the benefits received, their affection is only the exercise of a natural gratitude. End of quotation. It's like the person who only likes you when you are busy giving them chocolates, or you give them a pay raise, or you give a gift to their family. They might say to you, "Oh, thanks a bunch for this or that," every time you give them a gift, and then ignore you the rest of the time. And so after a while, you begin to wonder, is this person pleased with the gift and doesn't give a rat's hair about me, the giver? The problem is the desire for the things and not for you, the giver of the things. As Edwards points out further, when hypocrites hear the gospel, they are, quote, pleased in the highest degree in hearing how much God and Christ make of them, end of quote. In other words, they become the center of their own gratitude. They are the gravitational pull of their joy. What they do is they turn the Westminster Shorter Catechism question and answer, the first one, on its head, and they believe, they may not say it with their mouths, but by their actions and their disposition, they seem to believe that God's chief end is to glorify me and enjoy me forever. But the grace-generated, gospel-grounded gratitude comes from the one who has, quote, love to God for what God is in Himself. End of quotation. This is the person who finds himself or herself in amazement at God, at who He is, and how, yes, His love is rich and ravishing because it pours out of Him who He is, what He is. He is, quote, inexpressibly, this person, this grace-generated, gospel-grounded, gratitude person is, quote, inexpressibly pleased and delighted with the sweet ideas of the glorious and amiable nature of the things of God, and this is the spring of all their delights and the cream of all their pleasure. It is the joy of their joy. As Edward says further on, the person who is swamped by the grace of God first rejoices, quote, in God as glorious and excellent in Himself, and then, secondarily, rejoices in the fact that so glorious a God is theirs. Let me put it to you in the words of a pastor who saw his country crumble before his very eyes. He saw national enemies swarming the streets of his country. He saw economic, judicial, and educational chaos erupt into every corner of every city in his world. You know his name. His name is Augustine, the senior pastor of the Church of Hippo, North Africa, in the 400s. He said this in the midst of all of that. Alas, it is easy to want things from God and not to want God Himself, as though the gift could ever be preferable to the giver. And in another place he said, I call charity the movement of the soul toward the enjoyment of God for His own sake. Here, my friends, I believe is the way forward. Here is how we can rejoice always, pray without ceasing, but definitely give thanks in all circumstances. Instead of focusing in the first place on what I can get from God and what I have gotten from God, or, as the case may be, what I have not gotten from God, I start instead focusing upon God Himself. I start focusing upon who He is in Himself. And that can only be seen in Jesus Christ in the end. As my favorite living Scottish theologian, Donald MacLeod, is fond of saying and putting it throughout many of his writings, there is no un-Christ-likeness in God. There is no un-Christ-likeness in God. That's why I think, one reason why I think, Paul says here in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So let me hand off to you three things that are really at the end one thing. When your world is caving in, like Augustine's world was caving in, throw out the pity party and ponder God. Ponder God as He has shown Himself in Jesus Christ. Ponder Him in His beauty, His majesty, His compassion, His generosity, His love, His holiness. And ponder that He is all those things without you. And He is all those things without me. And He is all those things before anything ever came into existence. Ponder that He then is not perplexed by your pandemonium. Ponder that in love, He willingly entered into our rottenly chaotic world, into our broken friendship. Remember, never forget, one of His dear friends, Judas, betrayed Him. He entered into the chaotic world of even our broken friendships. He entered into the religious and political and judicial crookedness at their worst. And after absorbing all of this, He rose again, majestic, glorious, and triumphant. Ponder Him. Fall in love with Him. Embrace Him for who He is. This is God's plan for you. To enjoy making much of Him because He is the greatest good. Secondly, then bring to Him your circumstances. Bring to Him your broken heart. Bring to Him your tears, your fears, your anxieties. Give Him your hand. Like I saw a little girl one time give her daddy her hand so he could steady her and reassure her as they walked across a treacherous road. Give Him your hand. And instead of looking for the heavenly alchemist or the divine fixer-upper to miraculously come and turn your rusty circumstances into gold, instead look for Him in the circumstance. Look for His love and His careful gift of making you holier through the thick of it. Look away from your self-centered pleasure-seeking and your my comfort first at all cost mindset to see God Himself growing you larger with the greatest gift possible, Himself. Think about Paul's words. We quote these words all the time, but think about the end result of these words. From 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Why is God, in the midst of these momentary light afflictions, using them to prepare for us an eternal weight of glory? So that we can know everlasting, undying, close, intimate fellowship with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever and ever and ever. He is growing us in the midst of it to give us the greatest gift, Himself. And finally, and before I say this, I hope you know this, but sometimes we forget. You know, when a preacher is preaching at you, as we always say to the kids, when you point a finger at someone, there's always three fingers pointing back. The sermon is just as much for me, trust me. So what I'm saying, I'm not preaching at anyone. I'm preaching for us all. Lastly, check yourself. If you find it difficult to give thanks in all circumstances, is it because you are an idolater? Are you more in love with the things? Are you more in love with the blessings, name them one by one, than you are with the giver of the things and the giver of the blessings? My friends, Thanksgiving really begins right here. Not Thursday. It begins right here. Swamped and ravished in, as Edward said, God as glorious and excellent in Himself, and then in the fact that so glorious a God is yours because of Jesus Christ. Or to put it more simply, in the words of a friend of ours, Robert Hayes, I saw this morning on Facebook, and I thought it was great. In the words of retired PCA minister Robert Hayes, are we only thankful for the what? And not for the whom? Think about the psalm that we read, that John read earlier this evening, Psalm 73. Whom have I in heaven but You? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides You. My flesh and my heart may fail, God is the strength of my heart and my portion, my inheritance, my be-all to end-all. He is the portion, my portion forever. Here's how we can give thanks in all circumstances, which is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, have a happy Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord our God, we confess to You that every one of us, I think, dabble with idolatry. And when we don't get the good things from You, at least I know it's true for me, we begin to feel that maybe You don't love us or You don't like us. We find it hard to give thanks. Father, help us to move our gaze further beyond the things and the blessings to You, the giver, for all that You're worth, that we may always rejoice. We may pray without ceasing. We may be able to give thanks in all circumstances. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.